morning, everybody. Before I start this morning, I first need to confess. I was a grade one teacher. So I'm used to working with apparatus and little children are all eyes, and, you know, the way they are, those little ones. And so I thought this morning when I have this sermon, I'm going to have all this, the apparatus. I even discussed with Debbie and asked some advice. And then the Lord said, is it your sermon or mine? And then I had to bow down because the Lord says, I prepare the hearts of my children. I will speak to their hearts. You just do the talking and you just obey my command. So this morning I want to tell you that the Lord has something special for His church this morning. Not because I'm bringing it, but because it comes from the Father's heart. So let's just go to ask and pray. Father God, we just want to come before you this morning. And we want to say thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being called the sons and daughters of the Most High God. Thank you, Father, for the privilege that we have to come and stand before your throne. We even find in your lap. We just call you that. Thank you, Father, for the rain as a sign of your presence and your blessing. We pray that you will speak to us now. In Jesus' name. Amen. My sermon is Let's Leave the Dungeon. So this is actually the Lord spoke to me not so much about people in the world but about His church. And I had a vision about 10 years ago. I was praying for my family. I'm coming from a big family. We were 8 children, so there's lots of us and lots of grandchildren. So I was just praying and just bringing them all before the Lord, and the Lord just gave me this vision. It was like a well or a dungeon with holes in it. And I was standing in the middle of this place, but it wasn't very big. And out of these holes were pouring some slimy stuff. It was not smelling nice. It was not feeling very nice. It was actually fearful, because it was rising up to my knees. And I said, Lord, what is this? And the Lord says, this is the sins of your people. This is the sins of your ancestors, of your family members, of you, that's pouring out of these holes. And we need to stop it. And I said, Lord, how? How am I going to plug all these holes and stop it? How? I'm standing in this well. I can't even get up. It's too high. What am I going to do? And the Lord says, just stand. And as I was standing, suddenly smoke came out of this. And some stuff just dropped out and the holes were empty. But all of this was around me and smoke started rising from it. And it turned into ashes. And I said, Lord, now I've got all these ashes around me. What now? And the Lord says, just stand. And so I stood, and the next moment it was like a whirlwind coming, and all this debris was going out the well. And then I started climbing, and those holes were secure, and I could get out. And the Lord says, I am the one that will get rid of all this debris, all this nonsense that's in your family. And we as a family got together, and we went into a prayer and a confession day. I grew up in Worcester, so we went to Worcester and we had this confession weekend, and it was just so amazing the way the Lord just, I was even scared of some of my family members to go and share it with them. And they were the ones that were the eagerest of all. And it was just to me, wow, God was working from long ago, because my family on both sides were some of the first farmers in the Worcester area. And so I just realized, God, you are so faithful. And people came from all over town, heard about this, and they phoned me and they said, please, can we be part of this? And I realized, only God could have done this. I mean, that day when we went to the Shofar Church in Worcester, there was about 7 different denominations there. I didn't even know them. They just came because the Lord sent them. And we could have this confession meeting. And it was just afterwards, now I can just see the seeds growing and coming. People phoned me the other day and said, we want to start a revival conference in Worcester. Will you please come and share with us? And then I realized God did it all. I was just an instrument, very insecure. And so this morning, I just want to share this with you. And I want to say, when God, I want to go right back. I mean, this is something that we all know as Christians, but I just want to emphasize it again this morning. The first thing is, why do we end up in a dungeon? What are we doing there? Because I promise you, we all had a time when we were in a dungeon. We all have times when we are in a dungeon. And so, I just wanted to think, is that what God planned for us? Did He plan for us to be in a dungeon? Did He plan for us to be sometimes in distress? And then I went back to Genesis 1, verse 26. Then the Lord said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind. God, the Most High, the Great I Am, He decided to make man. It was His plan. He's like an artist. And those of you who are artists know that when you have this feeling in you, you just want to build something, to make something. And so I can just see this potter busy building this beautiful pottery and making something beautiful and how excited he is. Or somebody chiseling out of stone a beautiful statue. God was excited when He decided to make you and me. He was so excited, the great artist. And then the next one is, in the further on in the verse, it says, in our image, after our likeness, God wanted to make us look like Him. He wanted to put His DNA in us. Do you know that you have God's DNA in you? We were born like that. The Father made everyone that He made with His DNA. It's our decision to grow in that or to turn away from it. God wants us all. He wants every human being to be part of His DNA. But it's our choice. We choose whether we want to live, where we want the seed of God to grow inside of us. Then the verse goes on and it says, let them rule, have complete dominion over all the earth and all the creatures. People, God's creation, He put you and me in charge. He said to Adam and Eve, you rule over it. You are the boss. You decide what to do. And I'm sorry, we made a big mess. We look at the world today, what a mess, and that's not God's fault. It's ours. We did not rule. We did not go on doing what God made us to be. He gave us authority coming from Him. He said, do the things I'm telling you, but we decided to do our own. You know, God trusts us so much that He gave us the ability to choose. He gave us the ability to choose. He could have, like the angel said, you do what I'm saying. But He says, I trust you so much. I love you so much. I'm giving you the ability to make a choice. Then the verse goes on, verse 27, it says, so God created man in His own image. In the image and likeness of God, He created them. Here, in His image, looking like Him, having His likeness. And then He made them male and female. He created them. How confused the world is today, and how often we want to compromise with the world. People, I realize more and more that compromise is one of the cleverest cheating lies of the evil one. There's only one word, and that's God's word. And we stand on God's word and we do what He says. Then we will prosper. Then we will have authority. Then we will be able to do God's will. Then Genesis 2 verse 7 says, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the earth, and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, the spirit of life, and man became a living being. You know, I listened to a tape one day that said that the breath of life is like His name, Yahweh. So every breath we take, we are pronouncing His name. Every tree that breathes, the oxygen and whatever comes out, is the breath of life. Every creature speaks God's name every second of every day. Are we living it? Or are we just breathing it? Are we really showing that Yahweh, the great I am? Then the next thing is, we are God's seed. God's perfect plan. It was perfect when God made it. Adam and Eve enjoyed that beautiful garden. And God just wanted to be their father. He wanted to lavish them with His love. And He wanted them to know that I am is the God that made you. I am is the God who protects you, keep you, who loves you. And you know what? Every time you say, I am John or I am Mary, you are actually saying, God says, I am Mary. Oh. So you're actually saying God's name before yours. So that is, to me, that was just such an eye-opening experience. I think every time I say I am hungry. God is there for me to even help me when I'm hungry. I am feeling sick. God is there in my sickness. I am. Then the next thing is, He created earth as a home. Perfect, beautiful, because He's a loving Father. And then He said, you know, this was so amazing when I read it again. I read it so many times, and this yesterday I just read it again when it says, there was no rain in the beginning. The water just came out of the ground, and it watered the seeds, and it started growing. And, you know, to me, that was just the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the water of life. He just comes in and he fills our lives and he makes us fertile and He helps us to do God's will. And then He made the garden surrounded by three rivers to keep it safe. And so that speaks to me of the protection of the Father. He's protecting us. He's keeping us safe in His wings. And then, you know, I've read this so often, and yesterday it was just struck me again that He even put gold in that garden and the onyx stone. He put that in the garden, a treasure, a blessing. He puts treasures in our lives, our children. Some of us, our jobs is a treasure. I mean, to me, to be a teacher was just so fulfilling. It was a treasure to me to be able to work with those little kids. So each of you have a treasure that God has given you. So use it to God's glory. The next thing is, God provided different kinds of food for different kinds of creatures. And that to me is God the provider. He even provided for them. They didn't have to work. They didn't have to plant. They didn't have to sow or plow. It was there. They could just take and eat. Then came the fall, the dungeon. Now let's read Genesis 3 verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle, crafty, than any of the creatures or the wild animals. Oh.
Yeah, that to me is just, he can be so cunning. He can so easily just whisper in our ear, just a thought comes up, and he's just turning us away from this wonderful God we serve. I mean, who of us don't know that? How often does he do that with us? Then Satan said to the woman, did God really say, you shall not eat from the trees? Listen to this, to all the trees. Listen how he comes in just such a cunning way. Did God say that you shouldn't eat of all the trees in the garden? And then the woman answers. The woman said, you may eat of the fruit of the garden, God said, but you must not eat of the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, lest you will die. So she gave him the answer, because now she starts thinking, he knows a lot. Yeah, maybe I can listen to him. Maybe I should just spend a little time and hear what he has to say. But then listen to Satan's deceivement. He says, you will surely not die. For God knows that when you eat, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. Cunning. Cunning makes us feel so good. Oh, I'm going to be like God. Wow, this is great. And I will know good and evil, blessings and calamity. But you know what? I think if I was God sitting up there and watching this happen, I think he wanted to cry out, Eve, stop this. Don't listen to these lies. Because when you know the difference between good and evil, there's calamity coming your way. And I don't want you to live in that. I want you to be blessed. I want you to have a good life. But she was listening. And people, this is why we sometimes listen to things. We sometimes look at things and we need to turn away from it. Then reality struck. Genesis 3 verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened and they realized that they were naked. Never before did they realize that. And it was just so terrible. Now suddenly they were scared. They were anxious. They wanted to hide. They were not as happy as they were before. And it was just so funny to me in the next verses. Adam actually denied and he actually blamed God. God, you made the serpent. God, you gave me this wife. Shame, he couldn't even take his own mistake. And to think God put his DNA in him and now he blames God for what he's done wrong. And the same with Eve. And then the Lord said to Eve, to the woman, what is this you have done? And again the woman comes and she says, oh no, it was the devil. It was the snake. That's the one. But you know what? It actually struck me how we scapegoat people. Yes, I've done this wrong, but you know. If there's a but, be careful. Then you are not confessing. Then you are scapegoating. So people, we need to be honest. Because when I'm honest, I shed the load. But if I'm butting, I'm keeping the load. So when I say but, I keep the load. But when I just say, Lord, I am just so guilty. I stand here before you. I've just done wrong. And then I'm actually letting go of all this terrible stuff. Then in Genesis 3 verse 21, they were actually driven out of the garden. It is terrible. God had to make sure that they're out of the garden, out of his presence. And still God wanted to protect them. You know, this is so amazing to me. He went and he killed one of the animals to make skin clothes for them. God the Father. And he's repeated that with Jesus. Again, blood. Every time God comes, when he punishes, he's still graceful.
And he still wants to. He'd say, my child, I want to be there for you. I want to protect you. Then the next thing is, when Adam and Eve did that, they gave Satan the rule over the earth. Now people say today, yeah, but God should. We gave Satan the rule of the earth. Yes, God is still over him, and God will stop him when he wants to. But we gave him permission to rule. So, if we are allowing stuff in our homes, you know, so once my husband's uncle made him a grandfather clock. And this clock was beautiful, and I always wanted the grandfather clock. I wanted to hear the chime. And then when my husband brought it from Kimberley, and he put it in the house, something about this clock just bothered me. It was beautiful. It was just exactly what I wanted. And I love the chiming. Every 15 minutes it chimes. But then something bothered me. I thought, what's wrong? Why? And then I went and looked at the face of the clock. And on that there were like people, faces. And those faces, I couldn't understand what was wrong with the faces. It was beautiful, it was shiny, it was... And then the Lord said to me, I have a history book about the Old Testament, New Testament, and I went to that book and I started looking to see if I could find those images. And when I looked at it, it was the face of Baal and his wife. And I said, Lord. And the Lord says, they are not, they have no power, but those things give Satan permission to come into your house. If you allow stuff on your television, on your computer, on your phone that is not of God, you are giving Satan permission to rule in your life. If you allow your children to watch stuff of this world, I'm sorry, but I'm serious this morning. You are giving Satan permission to control your child's life. If husbands, you do not love your wives with the love of the Lord, like Jesus did, to protect them, to keep them, to tell them how much you love them, you are giving Satan control of your family. Women, if you do not submit yourself under the power of the Most High God, you don't submit under your husband as his helper. Remember, the Holy Spirit is the helper. So if you are a helper, you are part of the Holy Spirit. And if you're not going to submit under your husband, you are busy destroying your children. You're bringing rebellion in your homes. People, I'm saying this because after 50 years of teaching, I saw this happening in many homes. I'm asking you this morning, go back to your house. Go and repent towards one another if you have overstepped this rule. It's serious. It's what God commands us to do. Sorry, I'm preaching. Sorry. But I just feel I've got to say this. Now, the first thing is, Satan pours guilt over us. Now we all feel guilty. Oh, goodness, I've done wrong. But you know what? If we're guilty, confess. And God says, what are you talking about? You forget immediately when you confess. So what happens? If we have all these things carrying with us, we have a spirit of guilt. And we cannot operate properly. So let's just get rid of it. Go and speak to God, because this can cause depression. If we start having all this guilt in our lives, we can become depressed. But if we go to God and we bring it to Him, He will set us free. Then the next thing, He suggests that others have a better life. You know, that woman is more beautiful than you are. Look at her beautiful clothes. So we do all kinds of things, I know, to get better. Just do what God wants you to do.
Just become the woman that God wants you to be. Don't try and compete with somebody else. They have a different role. And then the next thing is, and that causes jealousy. So let's get rid of the jealousy. I've seen in my family, my sister's children being so jealous of one another. Oh, mum's doing more for you, mum. That it's become so bad that they actually lock down their phones. Their mum may not phone them. They don't even send her the pictures of her grandchildren because they don't want her to, as part of their lives, because of jealousy. People, we need to be so careful. The next one is, he suggests, how could God be a loving God if he allows that? I hear that so often. How could God be a loving God? Listen, God says, you choose. If you obey my commands, I will pour out my blessings. If you do not obey my commands, calamity will come. Because when we do not obey God's command, God withdraws. And Satan comes in and he says, now I will take control. And I will help you. I will show you the way. And so that is what happens when we do not obey God's commands. Then the next thing is unforgiveness. I think that's one of the difficult ones. I still have somebody that I really every day need to say, Lord, I forgive that person because he's done so much harm in my cousin's life. But I want to forgive him because you love him. People, we need to forgive immediately. I once listened to a missionary woman. Her husband and children were all killed by terrorists. And she said the very next moment, she said, God, I forgive them. And she says she was free. She says it didn't stop her from feeling hurt. It didn't stop her from feeling, wow, I've lost my most precious belonging. But she said she was free of anger. So yes, it's difficult. It's difficult to say, I forgive you. But all you need to do is just speak it. Just speak it and God will help you with the rest. It's not easy to forget. No, but God will help you with that. And the next thing, the devil says, you know what, when you were a little girl, you know, you didn't have a very nice life, or a little boy, and you know, people were so cruel and unkind to you. And then you start feeling hurt, and you become angry, and it makes it even worse. And you really become so angry, and sometimes when you're a grown up, you become angry about funny things. You think, where's this anger coming from? You know what, when Jesus came to this earth, he was not, the people actually mocked his mother and dad because she fell pregnant before they were married. And in those days, it meant that you were to be killed. So it was a shame upon his mother, upon his father, and there he came, and it was shameful. But Jesus didn't allow that to keep him down. He grew up to be the son of the Most High God. He grew up to be a leader like no one could ever be. So we, you know, if we ponder on things of the past, on hurts of the past, we keep on repeating and repeating. I remember I once spoke to a woman and she said, you know, I had a miscarriage. And it's on this day, and it was 10 years ago. And she said, oh, and I can't forget. And she cries, and she, why did this happen? I said, you know, I lost 4. God has them up in heaven. Yes, and they were not supposed to be here. And God is in control. They're happy there. I wouldn't have done such a good job. So stop it. Because you are just making it worse by crying over things of the past. You have 2 beautiful daughters, enjoy them and give them the love that they deserve. It's not easy. I'm telling you, I was in it. I cried and it was up and God took it all away. Because they are safe with him. I would have made a big mess with 6 children. I mean, whoo, I wouldn't have managed. But God is in control. Then the next thing is greed, lust. I want more. I want big. You know, the last 2 weeks I had to pack up my house. 52 years of marriage life. You know, all the stuff you hoard up in the storeroom, in the garage. I had to get rid of all of it. And I feel 10 tons lighter. Because I just, some stuff I sold, some I just gave to people. I just said, when somebody passes, do you want this? Go get it. And I feel so much lighter. And somebody sent me a picture of the blessing that the thing that I gave them is to her family. I thought, wow, God is using all my rubbish to make other people happy. So people, let's get rid of all the nonsense and let's go on and do what God calls us to be. Let's stop buying all these unnecessary things and start doing God's work and start becoming excited about who He is. Then the next thing is the lust of the flesh. You know what? Jesus says, you may say, I've never done any adultery. But if it's in your mind, you've done it, if you allowed it in your mind to grow, then you have also sinned. You have committed adultery. And you know what? It comes and goes. Thought comes, yes, because the devil wants it to. So don't feel guilty about the thought, but just get rid of it immediately. Just stop it immediately. I listened to a pastor one day. He says he went to preach at a certain town, and when he entered into the town, these horrible sexual thoughts came in his mind. He thought, wow, what's going on with you? What is happening? And then somebody said to him, this is the spirit of the city. And he said, you just renounce it, and it was gone. But so we don't have to feel guilty when the thought comes up. Then we just need to put a godly thought back in its place. Good, the next thing is self-pity. Ooh, that's a nice one. Oh, I feel so sorry for myself. Shame. But you know what? It's not easy when you're in there. It's difficult. You just don't know how to get out. But God says, if you have a hurt, it turns into bitterness, and bitterness turns into anger. So that's even worse, people. So we need to just remember, Jesus got out of all those things that people called him. All those, and who was the most dangerous people for Jesus were the church, the priests. And he went over all of that. Okay, the next topic is just the Holy. Only the Holy Spirit can revive us. Only on our knees we can surrender and get forgiveness to be set free. That was the smoke and the wind. Only on our knees. Trust Him to do the job. He is in control. He has all the power. And then the next thing is, we can try to climb out. We can try as much as we want. But we won't be able to get out until we allow the Holy Spirit to do that. So that we can reach out and become victorious. And in also God's grace, this is to me. I just listened to a video the other day, and this guy was just saying, the grace of God is like this. If I looked at the rain now and I thought, when the earth is dry, will it help the earth to rise up, to get wet? No. The earth must stay in its place and God will send the rain down. The same, we can climb as much as we want to. We can try everything in our power to become better Christians, to climb higher, to get to God. We can go in a plane and try and reach God there. But we will never get there. Look at all the religions. All of them are trying to become better, to become more holy. Some even speak of reincarnation to get better. But you know what? We will never be able to reach God. They built the Tower of Babel to try and get up there. But we will never reach God, because in God's grace, He comes down to us. That's grace. That's His grace. Coming from that high, beautiful place, He comes down to us to surround us with His love, to cover us in His love. Then I just want us to look at this, that we can be reunited and walk in His presence. People, that is so important, that we just need to sit down here and just receive from Him and His power to come over us. Then, how do we remain in His presence? To remain and to be free, to take control of our minds. We need to when those thoughts come, we immediately need to say, no, I'm not going to listen to this. I'm not going to allow this. Since my husband died, I had to take control of the house. I've got to take control of the finances. I never did that. I mean, he did everything, and I don't even know how to do things in the house, the electricity and hammering, and I just had to do it all now. And then I just realized I need to learn to do it. I need to ask God. God, show me how to do this. And I was surprised. I can do things that I never thought I can, because I could trust God. In the night, I would sleep and I would think, how am I going to do this? How am I going to manage this? I've got to see the bank manager. I've got to see this. And I worry and I worry. And then suddenly I remember my husband used to take the Bible, put it on his chest in the nighttime when he's got worries, and he puts it on his chest and says, it's not the Bible, it's just it makes me feel closer to God. And so I did that, and you must see what that poor Bible looks like now. Because I put it on my chest, I said, Lord, take control. And the next morning, there's the answer. So yes, we need to understand that we need to remain in His presence. We need to meditate in His presence. And He will take all these things away, like anger. We need to forgive. Like lust. We need to worship and concentrate on the Word of God. Depression. We need to dig into scriptures. You know, I've got this list of different people in the Bible that has different positive things about life. And I just sometimes read through that just to make me just lift out of the depression, just to lift out of that lonely feeling. Then the next thing is rebellion. Tell the Holy Spirit that you are angry. Lord, I'm angry with you now because look what's happening to me. And God will show you the way. We need to be honest with God. He knows anyway. But we just need to be honest. Unforgiveness. To forgive immediately and let God do the work. Then self-pity. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God's DNA is in you. Why do you want to be depressed if the Most High God is your everything? Then I just want to understand that if we are in the Word, that's why it's so important to be in the Word every day. Because when bad thoughts come, when terrible things come over us, we need to go to the Word and ask God to help us. Then we need to put on the whole armor: willingness, the truth, righteousness, salvation, faith, the Spirit, and the Word. And then we need to blow that trumpet of victory. I had a shofar at my house. My son just grabbed it and said, Mom, the church needs it. So, so what I did is I got an old trumpet. I can't even blow it, but I got that at home. And I just sometimes, just to encourage myself, I just start making a noise, the poor neighbors. But it just lifts my spirit, just to know that I can blow the trumpet of victory over the evil thoughts of the devil. And then, of course, we need to meditate on God's Word. And I want to encourage you, go and read Psalm 37. Go and see what God's promises are for you in Psalm 37. It says, do not fret. It says, trust in me. It says, delight in my word. It says, commit yourself and your ways to the Lord. And it says, be still. And people, be patient. We sometimes need to wait on the Lord for a long time. Sometimes, you know what? Andrew Murray's father prayed for 30 years for revival to come in Graaff-Reinet. And revival broke out in his son's town in Worcester. After 30 years, he kept on praying. And he trusted God. And he was patient. And a mighty revival. I mean, if you go and read the history of that revival, I read it this week and I was astonished to see what God did without anybody preaching, just the prayers of believers and how God did it all. And then he says, I will give you righteousness, I will uphold you, I will keep you fit, and I will be the fire, and I will make you victorious. And then I just want us to remember that God will send correction. Sorry, I'm a bit long now, but I just need to do this too. God sends correction because it's ordained by Him. He says, for the Lord corrects everyone whom He loves. I mean, we correct our children, don't we? We should. From very little, we should start. I always say, before they're six, you should have finished correcting. Some people say, no, you must wait until they're five. Oh, no, then you've lost the battle. Start when they're small. And when they're five, they already are who they are. The next one is, correction is proof that we belong to the Lord. In Hebrews 12, verse 7, it says, God is dealing with you as with sons. You are His sons and daughters. Then correction is initially unpleasant. Hebrews 12 says, now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous. In correction is makes a godly character. In Hebrews 12 it says, in order that we may share His holy character. God is correcting us so that we can get His character. People just think, if the Christians in this world start living God's character, the mind of Christ, what a changed world this would be. In the next one's correction comes direct from Him. Psalm 32 verse 8, I will guide you with my eyes, the inner witness of my spirit. I always say, it's sometimes we do something and it's just like God just drops a thought into my mind. And then we need to respond to that. Then correction comes by circumstances. And this is to me sometimes when I pray for somebody, I say, Lord, just please let them just listen before you've got to bring circumstances over them. Because it sometimes can be very hard. Because in Psalm 32 verse 9 says, which must be harnessed with a bit and a bridle. We must just listen before God needs to put that bit and bridle in. And then He corrects until we can know and discern His voice. That's John 10 verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. I must be able to hear God's voice, to discern. And that I can only do if I spend time with, you know, you can stand in a, now with COVID, we often have to stand in a line and wait and wait and wait. We should just use that time to pray for the person in front of you or behind you. Just spend time. Lord, you are most wonderful. And then the last thing I want to say is, in the fire, in the storm, or in any rejection we experience, it's used by our Father God to make us stronger. Yapi can witness about that. The more you exercise, the stronger you become. The more you run, the further you can run. So yes, we sometimes need to, and it's not easy. I know. I've been escort woman too. So I know you've got to suffer to get there. But it makes you strong. And that's what God wants. He says, come now. You know, this is last thing. King David, when he was a young man, he was rejected by the king. Saul wanted to get him. So he fled into the mountains. And while he was in the mountains, there were all these bad people hiding in the mountains. And you know what David did? He didn't join them. He didn't say, oh yes, I'm now so angry with the king, let's make up an army and go and kill him. No, David changed those people to become like him, worshippers. And he built the best army. And he joined, without King Saul knowing, he joined the king's battles and won the battles for him with his army. So let's change our bad circumstances. Let's change our bad friend, our bad neighbor, with the love of Jesus and make them part of his army. Let's close our eyes. Father God, we come before you this morning and we just want to say thank you that you made us. Thank you that you made us according to your likeness. But Father God, we want to come and confess that we cannot keep into your commands. We struggle to stay at your feet. We so often wander, Lord. Father God, we know that we have no power, but you are our power. Holy Spirit, you are the one who strengthens us, who guides us and who leads us. Please, Lord, help us to admit our weaknesses and become strong in you. We pray, Lord, that you will bless us and keep us, and that you will let your face shine upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.